Father, we thank you, Lord. Another day is here. And we give you praise and give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for how this week has moved on, the first week of this year, and now in day 7. And we give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's here today and everyone that will be joining later or listening to the replays later on. We ask a blessing over everyone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. So it is spoken, and so let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And remember, amen means affirming God's word, meaning what you say, expecting what you say, and nothing wavering, nothing doubting. Praise the Lord. But today, well, let's see if we can dare to believe God for more of his promises. We've done a two-day review of a recap of those promises that he has been giving us over the last few years on this platform. And let's challenge ourselves today to believe God for more. One time Jesus, he challenged Martha. He said, "Believest thou this?" That's the question. So today it's unusual faith, uncommon results. Dare to believe. Praise God. In the book of Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, we see an expression that Jesus put out there telling us that, well, you know, it's really up to us. If you can only believe God, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, we know that all things are possible with God. But Jesus also tells us that, well, all things are also possible with whosoever and to whosoever will dare to believe. Let me put it out like that. If we can believe God. That was the story of this man that came to Jesus, you know, and said, you know, it's been, something's been happening, you know, to his child, you know. He was trying to get the disciples to heal, but they couldn't do it. And son of gnashing with the teeth and pining away, he said, and so on. So he brought him finally to Jesus. Jesus said, well, how long is it since this has come upon him? And the man said, since of a child. Now, oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him and so forth. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now this man is desperate, but almost already losing hope because the disciples of Jesus couldn't do it. It's like, well, if you can do anything, if you can do anything at all, Lord, please have compassion upon us. And Jesus turned around and said, well, it's not a matter of if I can do anything. It's a matter of if you can believe. Because all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight away the man cried out and said, Lord, with tears in his eyes, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that's the cry that we need to cry to the Lord when we are in a crisis of faith. When it is like, you know, a situation that you must believe God. If you're struggling with, you know, believing God without doubting and expecting it, just like you're praying and affirming his word, if you're struggling, then we need to cry out to the Lord. This man did the right thing. he cried out unto the Lord for help. And the Lord commanded that deaf and dumb spirit or whatever it was, come out of the child. And the child cried out, deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And that's another lesson there. When we give devil charge to come out, we also got to tell him not to come back. Praise the Lord. So came out, and the boy was cured and healed. But we see the challenge here that Jesus threw out. It was a challenge of faith. He said, well, if thou canst only believe, all things are possible to him that believe. It sounds simple enough. But Jesus is putting it right back, the ball right back in our court. If we say, Lord, help me, if you can help me at all, Lord say, well, yeah, but can you believe? You know, so similar thing we find in John chapter 11. Jesus is now at the graveside for Lazarus. And he's talking to Martha. Martha says, Lord, we called unto you when our brother was sick, but you didn't come. He's dead now. You know, so, yeah, well, it's over, she thought. But then she said, well, in any case, I know that even now, that's another nevertheless moment right there. Nevertheless, you know, I know that even now, if you ask God anything, he can do it. So Jesus is going to put it back on her that, it's not about me. It's really about you. You know, can you believe, Jesus said, book of John chapter 11 and verse 40. Didn't I say unto you that if you can believe, you should see the glory of God? You know, Jesus asked her, do you believe this? Believest thou this? And so the question is today, do we believe this? And can we believe God for whatever it is, you know, that we are trusting or hoping that the Lord will do for us? Can we actually, you know, believe it? Praise God. Now, something that Jesus told Martha also, she said, well, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said, well, do you believe this? This is John 11 and 26. Well, do you believe this? This thing that I just said? Not, are you a believer? You know, are you a believer? Well, maybe you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That qualifies you to be called a believer. But do you believe this? This thing right here, this moment, this thing that you're, you know, believing or trusting God for, can you truly believe? Well, she couldn't comprehend what he was saying because her brother is dead. And yet you're saying, you know, anybody that lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, this man was believing in Jesus, but now he's dead. And he said, well, even if he were dead, yet shall he live. I mean, what are you talking about? She couldn't figure it out. So she tried to spiritualize it. He said, well, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God that should come into the world. Well, that's not what Jesus was talking about. You know, but her belief system at that moment was hindering her comprehending what Jesus was saying. She's thinking one thing, Jesus is saying a different thing. But do you believe this? You know, that even though your brother were dead, yet he can live again. Now, that didn't sound like Jesus was meaning that the man was coming out of the grave. Nobody thought that's what he was saying. So she rationalized it and said, well, yeah, you know, she even said, well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, well, your brother shall rise again. Say, yeah, I know that. We've all believed. I mean, they've heard the teachings of the Pharisees and so forth, who believe in the resurrection. Jesus himself has said, well, I'll raise him up at the last day multiple times. So she believed that. But she could not embrace that for the moment. That Jesus was actually talking about her brother coming out of that grave that they're looking at. And so that's the question. We can believe that God is able to do all things. But can you embrace that faith for the moment? When we are in a crisis situation, unusual results, or I should say uncommon results. I mean, throughout the Bible, we see things like that. You know, people would believe God, you know, in an unusual way, and they would experience some uncommon results. But before we get into that, let's examine the subject of faith a little bit. There's all kinds of faith that the Bible talks about. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see there's common faith for common salvation. There's little faith or weak faith. Jesus used to rebuke the disciples for having little faith. There's relentless faith where, you know, people wouldn't stop, just keep on believing. Blind man was wanting help from God, from Jesus. They kept shouting him down, but he wouldn't stop. He kept believing and pressing with his voice. Help me, Lord. He eventually got what he wanted. You know, one woman, Jesus told her, I cannot take what belongs to children and give to dogs. She was relentless. She would not give in. She got what she wanted. You know, another woman went to a judge, kept asking. The judge wouldn't do anything at first, but eventually had to give in because the woman was wearing him out. Well, those are examples of relentless faith. They just wouldn't stop. We've even seen vicarious faith in the Bible, which is when somebody stands in the gap and believe for someone else. Many times, the parents that brought the child, or even this woman we just talked about that said my daughter, you know, wanted healing and so on for her daughter. In the book of Luke chapter 5, you know, the people who that were able to bring their friends, you know, to Jesus, and so on and so forth. I mean, there are just many, you know, many kinds of faith that we see in the Bible. I want to examine some of them closely today. And there were some other kinds of faith that Jesus was impressed with. He called it great faith. In one case, he said, well, I've not seen this kind of faith, even in Israel. At other times, you know, he rebuked them for not having strong enough faith. So what level of faith do you have? And where do you stand in terms of faith with the Lord? Can we say that, or can God say of you that, wow, this person has great faith? Or will he say, well, O ye of little faith? Which one will he say? Vicarious faith. People can, you know, believe God for someone else. In Luke chapter 5, some people brought some men to Jesus when they could not find a way by which they might bring him in. You know, they went through the roof and let him down in the midst before Jesus. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 20, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man that was sick of the palsy and so forth. So the paralyzed man, but it was their faith that he saw, not exactly the faith of the man, but the faith of his friends, you know, who dared to believe God, dared to go tear down somebody else's roof and let down this man before Jesus, because they couldn't get through the crowd. But they knew that if we can just get this man in front of Jesus, something good is going to happen. And when Jesus saw their faith on behalf of their friend, that's vicarious faith, having faith for someone else. Jesus healed the man. Yeah, but it was his friends that had faith for him. We don't even know if the man himself could speak. We don't know if he was able to reason. But his friends had faith. And so, you know, we can have that kind of faith. If we can believe God, real potent faith that can lead to translative faith, unusual faith, and so on. Well, there's common faith. Let's talk about that. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 3, we see the measure of faith is called common faith. God has dealt to every man, it says in Romans 12 and 3. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's common faith. I mean, everybody has some faith, you know, some level of faith. And we use faith every day of our lives. We may not be thinking about it, but we do it. You know, if you're in your house, you're going upstairs or coming downstairs, you know, you step on that staircase, you don't know that it's going to cave in or not. You just walk through it. When you're about to sit down on that chair, you don't know if the chair is going to hold you up or not. It could collapse underneath you, but you sit down on it anyway, without even thinking. I mean, we go through these motions, you know, throughout the day without thinking, but it's a form of faith. You know, we just expect, you know, faith is a form of expectation. Expect that something will be. Yeah, expect without even thinking that the chair will hold you up when you sit on it, except that the staircase will hold you up. Yeah, you get into an elevator, you know, expect that it'll carry you to wherever, and the thing will not just drop and, you know, kill everybody. I mean, we do that every time, you know, walk to your car, put in the key, you crank it up, you expect it to start. Now, if it doesn't start, that's a problem. You know, but I mean, we exercise these motions of faith all the time. It's called common faith. Paul talked to Timothy about common faith. He said, well, you know, in the book of, Titus chapter 1, talked to Titus about it. He said, these things I'm writing to you, Titus, my own son. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. After the common faith. So there is common faith. I mean, it's just the faith that everybody can have. I mean, you need that common faith for salvation. It's not anything more than that we need. Because the Bible says if you can confess with your mouth, I mean, believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. So that's common faith. It's right there. Then there is little faith. There are times that, you know, because of little faith, the people could not believe God, and Jesus was not impressed. Here are a couple of examples of little faith. In the book of, Matthew, you know, chapter 6, you know, verse 30, Jesus said, you know, Jesus is challenging us. He said, look, when you are too concerned, you know, about what shall we eat, you know, drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed, this and this and this. Jesus said, when you're too concerned about these things, it is a sign of little faith. Here's what he said. in Matthew 6 and 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the field, the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is cast into the even, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Because prior to that, he had been talking about take no thought for this and take no thought for that. So when we cannot depend upon God, or when we don't depend upon God to meet our daily needs, Jesus classifies that as little faith. Okay. Same thing in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8. He talked about little faith again with, with some of his disciples. But they were going somewhere, and Jesus was telling them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so they were reasoning among themselves because, on that particular trip, they forgot, to take bread with them. And so they were thinking, well, maybe it's because we didn't take bread. That's why he's telling us about leaven. And Jesus said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because we have taken no bread? Don't you understand yet? Neither remember the loaves. Five loaves of 5,000, how many baskets you took up? The seven loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? I say that you don't understand. I'm not speaking concerning bread. I'm talking about something else. But because they were thinking of this material thing that they forgot to take along, Jesus called it little faith. So you see all the times that Jesus called out little faith, anytime we're not trusting God to meet our needs for the moment, Jesus called it little faith. Also, when we are fearful, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, we see, a story that Jesus again, was calling out his disciples for little faith, because they were in the boat and they were trying to go somewhere, and a great tempest arose, so much that his ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Same story that we find, similar story as we find in Mark chapter 4. And when they came to him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. He said, well, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds. And there was a great calm. But first, he rebuked the disciples for having little faith. So every time that we see that either they were not trusting God to meet their needs or to protect them, he called it out as little faith. He was not impressed. The same thing with Peter, who was actually trying to be bold in Matthew chapter 14. And Jesus was walking on the water. Peter said, well, if it is you, bid me come on the water. And Jesus said, come. And so he stepped out of the water and was walking toward Jesus. And then the Bible says that, but when he saw that the winds were boisterous and contrary and all of that, he began to sink. so that he was afraid and he began to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus and started to look around at the winds. The winds were boisterous the whole time, but when he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was able to walk on the water. And again, Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So you see, in all these examples where the participant were not trusting God for the moment, Jesus called it little faith. And sometimes he actually said, why is it that you have no faith? How come is it you are so fearful? That's how Mark recorded it in Mark chapter 4. So that's the kind of faith that Jesus was never impressed about, when we are not trusting God to meet our needs. Now, there are some great faith, though, on the other hand, that Jesus was impressed about. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, and verse 10, was impressed with this man's faith. He said, because the man said, look, I'm a man of this centurion, I'm a man of authority. You don't even need to come to my house. You know, just say the word. you know, because, you know, I myself, I say to people, go do this, and they do it. Come and do it, and so on. You know, I know how to command people, and they do it. And so I know you are a commander also in the realm of the spirit. You say the word. You don't even need to come. I know it'll be done. Because, you know, the man used his own life to understand things of the spirit. So if I can do this as a man, I know the Lord can do that too. And Jesus said, wow. See, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So Jesus called that one great faith because, and what was the, you know, let's analyze the reason behind this call out of great faith. Well, it was because the man took Jesus at his word. You know, he said, look, all you got to say is speak the word only. That's it. You don't even need to come. Just say it. If you can just say it, it's going to happen. So, and Jesus called that kind of faith great faith. Now, so, you know, let's try to put ourselves in different categories. Moments when you are doubting, fearful, and not trusting God to meet your needs, Jesus called it little faith. Moments when you can take God at his word, he calls it great faith. He loves it. That story in Matthew chapter 15 also, you know, of the first one was the centurion. You know, this one, you know, was, I mean, we talked about the centurion. We've talked about the what we call the Syrophoenician woman and so on and so forth. So there was this woman, sometimes they call her woman of Canaan, called her Syrophoenician woman and all of that. And she was one that would not give up. And at the end, Jesus said, oh woman, great is thy faith. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28. Because she would not, there was nothing that Jesus could do to shake her. She was going to stay right there and get what she wanted. Pierce the veil of time, dispensations, when Jesus said, well, it's not even time yet. First is for the Jews. You know, this woman stood right there, you know, and got what she wanted. And Jesus called it great faith. So you see examples, you know, of that and so on. Now, what about, you know, this kind of enduring faith, you know, against all odds? Well, Abraham was an example. It was an enduring faith against all odds. In Romans chapter 4, you know, verses 16 to 22, who, you know, against all odds, believed God when it was looked naturally impossible. He was up there in age. By the time of Abraham, you know, people were not living for 400, 500, 600, 900 years anymore. So at that, you know, if you lived up to be 75, 80, 90 at that time, you were considered old. So he was considered old. His wife was considered old. And yet God was promising them something that they should have had 40, 30 years ago. You know, and even though it looked as if it could not be possible in the natural, they believed God. You know, and so it was a kind of faith, that's enduring faith for decades. We believe God, you know, for 25 years or so, maybe 2.5 decades, Abraham stuck it out with the promise and believed God. And so that's an enduring kind of faith that goes out, you know, with, against all odds, who against hope, believed in hope. You know, I mean, it was just, there was no way you could look at it He himself was 100 years almost. His wife was 90 years or so. And they believed God. And God did tremendous things. He came through. And he said, even one as good as death, Sarah. Yet out of one that such, God brought forth tremendous, you know, they multiplied to this day as like the sands of the sea. They believed God. It's enduring faith, powerful faith. You know, it was unusual to believe God like that, even when you didn't have your child. One child will be calling yourself father of nations. But they also got uncommon results because of their faith. There were some other people that had those kind of powerful faith that dared to believe God. The story of Israel that we've told many times, you know, trying to go into the promised land, Numbers chapter 13 and 14, how most of the spies, 10 out of 12, said, we can't do it. God, we saw giants in the land. And we ourselves look like grasshoppers compared to their stature. There's no way we can take those people. Well, two of them said, well, giants or no giants. As a matter of fact, their strength is departed from them. They are bred for us and we can, you know, take it and let's go up at once. Joshua and Caleb dared to believe God in the face of giants and different things which other people said we can't do. So, there may be situations that persist in the world, or in your country or wherever. People may see the same situations differently. You know, some people say these are times of economic woes and we cannot survive because the government made all these things, laws and policies and so forth that don't benefit us and work against us. And it looks like we will be perishing because of these laws. But other people say, well, this is the time to thrive. You know, we can thrive and we can do it. Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on what you see. There were two people in that situation that dared to believe God. Because God already said that you can go in there and take it. And the situation didn't look like they could take it. But they said, well, God be with us. We will have these people for lunch. They are bread for us. And we can do it. Let's go up at once. Well, that kind of faith is a faith that dares to believe God. You know? You can dare to believe God. What about, this same Joshua, when you get to, chapter 10 of Joshua, verses 12 to 14. What about that kind of faith? You know, when they were fighting and he knew that the sun was going down and he needed some more daylight, you know, for the fight, it was going to be hard to see clearly, you know, once the sun went down. And the thing that he did, not in a corner, it never been said that anybody had done that before. It was a trailblazer. He come out there. And in the sight of all Israel, this battle against the Amorites was a serious battle. But in the sight of all Israel, he said, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. He wasn't even praying the prayer in a secret. I mean, you can pray in secret. So if it doesn't happen, nobody knows anything. But in this case, He came out there and said it openly to everybody's ear. I mean, in everybody's hearing, and commanded the sun, to stay still and not move until they finish this battle. Commanded the moon also. I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? But this Joshua, he had seen some powerful things under Moses. He knew that all you had to do was believe God. All things were possible. He knew it. And a tremendous faith. He dared to believe God. And the Bible said, my goodness, you know, there was no day like that before or after that God hearkened to the voice of a man. Glory to God. Because these are the works of God's hands. Ordinances that cannot be moved. this sun must go certain time, must come down certain time, this moon. I mean, from Genesis, you all put this one great light to rule the day, another one to rule the night, all these things. But yet, one man would dare to believe and change the course of that because, you know, he needed some extra daylight. And God honored his word. Those are tremendous faith. He stops the sun and the moon. Praise the Lord. You know, what about some other people that dared to believe God, even at the jeopardy of their lives? You know, such as Daniel, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they dared to believe God. This was really, I mean, this fiery furnace faith, which we call it today, from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was actually unheard of. It was unusual. And then they received uncommon results. I mean, we've never heard up to that time. I call them trailblazers. We never heard that anybody walked through the fire, come out of there. I mean, they knew that God had said it. In Isaiah 43 and 2, they knew that he had said, well, you know, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. But nobody ever heard that anybody ever did. But they said, look, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. They were persuaded. And they also embraced it. Not only is he able, that's the being persuaded, but he is going to, that's embracing it. And he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us for whatever reason, not because he can't, but if for whatever reason he chooses not to, we still will not bow. My goodness, that is some people that dared to believe God. They were sold out. Care whether they lost their lives or not. They lost not their lives unto the death, according to Revelation 12 and 11. And they believed God against the fiery furnace. The man heated it up, commanded it to be heat, because he was furious. How dare you stand there and tell me that you will not bow? I'm giving you a chance to save your lives. You know, so he was furious and the thing cranked up 7 times. Yeah, but by faith, they quenched the violence of fire. The Bible finally records in Hebrews 11. And a tremendous faith. I mean, these people did. Daniel also. They cast him into a den of hungry lions. I mean, they used to starve those lions. They would not feed them. They just, you know, so that, you know, if they wanted to throw somebody in there, the lions will have the mastery of them before they even got to the bottom. Jump out and meet them and tear them to pieces. And, Daniel knew that that was the fate that was waiting for him. Because he knew the decree. Was part of the council. And, you know, so, but he continued to do his prayer just the same way. And so when they came up, he knew. And so, well, whatever. You know, and they cast him into the den of hungry lions, starving lions. It's a tremendous faith. You know, people had faith to believe God for deliverance out of the mouth of lions, out of the, violence of fire and all these things. Tremendous faith. And we can read back right now and look at those things that these people did and say, wow. People did those things, and Hebrews 11 would record those things that, you know, all kinds of faith that people have, you know, champions of faith, heroes of faith, the annals of faith, is what I call, you know, Hebrews 11. By faith, this one did that. By faith, this one did that. By faith, this one did that. Well, that book is still being written. And will your name be appearing in one of the pages of that book, you know? That by faith you believe God against all odds. And here comes the results. You know, anybody that can exercise unusual faith will go into experience uncommon results. Many of these people did. They dared to believe God like that. And it was amazing the things that happened to them. You know, all the things that they experienced over and over and over again. Now, what about even Mary? You know, what she experienced, she's another trailblazer. He had never been heard of since Eve and Adam, you know, since the beginning, had never been heard of. That, you know, somebody would just be pregnant like that and have a baby. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. But after the angel explained it to her, she believed it. You know, it was amazing. And God knows how to pick them. God will find that person that's going to believe him to fulfill and carry out his eternal purpose. And he found one in Mary. He knew she would believe. And she believed. And tremendous things. The word was made flesh because she dared to believe, you know, what the angel told her. Be it unto me, she said, according to thy word. And she believed. And many people believe God for all kinds of things throughout the scriptures. Well, what about you? Paul, one time, he was going to be in a shipwreck with a whole bunch of people in Acts chapter 27. And then he stood up and said, well, he had told them that the shipwreck was, I mean, the storm was coming and they should wait some days and let the storm pass before they set sail. They wouldn't listen and they got stuck in the middle of it. You should have listened to me. I told you so. But nevertheless, he said, there will be no lives lost, you know, but you got to stay in the ship. If you jump ship, can't make it. You know, no lives lost because the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight. And sirs, I believe God. Now, this storm was coming and was going to cause damage, not only to the ship, but loss of lives. It could. But Paul said, no, I believe God because the angel of the Lord stood by me in the night, told me there will be no lives lost. In fact, he stood in the gap for everybody. I was in that ship with him. And Paul, you know, the Lord told him, well, I've given you the lives of all these people, but they must stay in the ship. If they jump ship, they can't make it. That's a lesson of life too. You know, when we are filled with crises that could take away, you know, your life, your posterity and so forth. Don't jump ship now. Stay in the ship. Christ is that ship of safety. Stay right there. That's the only way. These cannot be saved, Paul said, except they abide in the ship. And, you know, on and on and on, as people that believe God. What about David? We cannot tell stories like this without adding David into the mix. David was a young man that was tasked with something that not one person usually did. Normally, it was a group of shepherds that would be out there because you couldn't. There's no way that one person can fend off all these wild animals. So they usually had groups, you know. The shepherds were keeping their flocks by night. The angel of the Lord came by them. They're usually in groups. But this young man was, you know, kind of abandoned in the bush by himself with the sheep all by himself. And so he had to fend off all the wild animals all by himself. And that's a difficult task because, you know, those sheep, sometimes they're careless. They wander away from the pack. And once you wander away like that, you're dead meat. You know, so the lion grabbed one of the wandering ones and carried it away. You know, that's what the lions do. Carry it away to a safe place and deal with it. And, when David found that out, went after the lion. You know, how do you go after a lion that has a prey in its mouth? You can't even take a bone from a dog when it's in his mouth, let alone prey in the mouth of a lion. You know, but he said, well, not on my watch. You take what's mine. I want mine back. You give up. And they got into hand-to-hand combat, you know, with the lion. And he come out on top. I mean, you talk about someone that dared to believe God, had tremendous faith. I can go up against a lion. You go up against a lion, you know. One time somebody said, because, you know, there was a scratch on his hand. How do you get those scratch? Where do you get that from? So you should have seen the other guy. Yeah, he came out with a few scratches too. One day, I saw it all. It showed me. But at the end of it, He come out of that on top. God was his back and restored that little lamp on his shoulder back to the camp. And then there was another type. There was a gorilla this time, or something, bear, that rose up against him. And when he went, took one of the lambs also, he went after him. And this man, this thing stood up like that, pounded his chest. It was like 7 or 8 feet tall when he rise up like that. And but he went against that also and got the victory. You cannot get a victory over a gorilla or a bear that stands all day. A body slam you one time, you'll break all your bones. A bear hug you, break everything in your body. But David did it. Came out on top. By the time he faced Goliath, all he was remembering was, you know, I've seen this before. When that bear rose up against me, he was probably even taller than this guy. I've seen that before, you know. I'm going to take this man out, just like I took the others out. Glory to God. You talk about somebody that dared to believe God. They tried to give him all kinds of, you know, protection, shield, a helmet, this and that. You know, he tried to put it on, but he couldn't even move. He said, I can't walk with this. Get all these things off of me. You know, so he went to a place that he was comfortable with. You got to go to that place where you're comfortable with. That's right. You know, he had always been by the brook, you know, in some other brook, not exactly this one, but he used to that. You know, and said, well, you know, just give me some time. And so he went to a brook. And he found 5 smooth stones. He remembered. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, he went back there. Found 5 smooth stones. So, you know, these are plenty. You know, and got his sling. And went out against Goliath. And you know the rest of the story. He got the victory too. I mean, these are people that dared to believe God. You know, in an incredible way. What about this Shunammite woman? We talked about her story a few times. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you can read her story from verses 18 through about 37. Her son died, but she dared to believe God. An unusual faith, and she received uncommon results. You know, when everybody else would have panicked, put their hands on their head, throw themselves against the ground and be crying and wailing and all of that, she didn't do any of that. She says, saddle me a chariot. I'm going to the man of God. Why would you go to the man of God today? It's not even a new moon or Sabbath or whatever. So don't worry about it. I'm going to the man of God. And everybody, even Elisha's servant, met her on the way. Is he well? It is well. No, it wasn't. Her son was dead. See, but that's faith. Faith was to call things that are not as though they are. This boy was dead, but she said, it is well. Huh? Glory to God. And people made songs out of that woman's story. It is well with my soul, and so on and so forth. Yeah? Well, you know, she got back her dead from, you know, back to life. People like that are recorded in Hebrews 11. By faith, women received their dead back to life. She was in the mix. Tremendous faith. I believe God. They got that back, what they believed. What about Hezekiah? In Isaiah chapter 38, a prophet. This man was a prophet of his times. Isaiah was no mean prophet. He prophesied tremendous things. Come up to Hezekiah and say, thus saith the Lord. Now, this is thus saith the Lord. Not, you know, thus saith Isaiah. No. Thus saith the Lord, you are going to die. You will not survive this sickness. So set your house in order, because you're not going to make it. you know, this man, Hezekiah, tremendous faith. I was not going to accept that. I don't care whether it was Isaiah or anybody else that said it. Yeah, he went up to the Lord and said, Lord, you know how I have walked it in integrity of my heart before you. He wept sore and said, you said, you know, if we seek you, we'll find you. And he sought the Lord a moment like that. He wouldn't take it. Didn't matter if it was thus said the Lord or not. He just wouldn't take it. And you know the rest of the story. The word of the Lord, Isaiah just dropped that prophecy and left and was going away. And this man got a hold of God right away. He just even did not even let the sun set on that thing. And before Isaiah left the courtyard, big courtyard it was in those days, the word of the Lord came back to him and said, I want you to turn back and go tell Hezekiah something. And well, Isaiah spoke the word of the Lord the first time too. It wasn't something he made up. And it wasn't a false prediction or false prophecy. He was the word of the Lord. But the Lord, through that story, is telling us that, look, there are some things that faith can change. Glory to God. You have faith, you have the power to believe God. This man, you know, he believed God. He called upon the Lord, and he would not take that news of his going to die. He wouldn't take it. You know, and the Lord reversed that. 15 years added to his life right there and then. Glory to God. I mean, you talk about people that dared to believe God and what they received. Praise God. Some other people, you know, just different kinds of faith that they had through life. I mean, sometimes we don't think about these things, but they are powerful and tremendous faith. Elijah, fed by ravens. It didn't matter if the whole world was starving. You know, this man, heavenly room service, you can call it that. Angels, you know, could talk to this man. Ravens could feed him. I mean, God could do anything. In fact, the angel of the Lord one time cooked him some meals. I mean, this man had tremendous faith. Even when he was running away, frustrated and everything, the angel of the Lord was still cooking him meals. My goodness. This man had so much faith, the world could not contain him. He was taken away in a chariot of fire. Woo-hoo. You talk about faith. This wild man, Elijah the Tishbite, a rustic figure from the wilderness. He was a wild man. You know, wild honey, camel's skin and all that kind of stuff. Wild man. Huh. Yet he said, I stand in the presence of the living God. There shall be no rain but by my word. That's it. Locked up heaven, put the key in his pocket, walked away. That's it. Can't do it except by my word. I mean, you talk about people that had some real faith. Oh, my goodness. They dared to believe God. Well, you know, and he was translated for that faith too. 2 Kings 2:11. He was translated. He knew it too. And even everybody knew it. Did you know that one of my favorite characters in that whole Bible, Enoch, very little was said of him, but he was a man that had tremendous faith that dared to believe God against everything. Adam said, we're waiting to die. Enoch said, no. Said, well, I'm sorry, son. It's over. We got kicked out. Why? Well, because we disobeyed. But why? You know how children are asked many questions. Well, I want to go back in there and see. You had all that power and now we have nothing. Said, no, well, I'm sorry. It's over. You know, he said, we're going to die. Well, but you're not dead yet. Yeah, well, but yeah, we're waiting to die. But this man, you know, you heard me tell his story many times. He dared to believe God. He would not take death as a final state. You know, like, look, that's it. You know, everything we're doing now, we're just living to die. You know, waiting to die. One day we will be dead and that's it. You know, so we'll see about that. He had faith. You know, Bible says he had this testimony. By faith, he pleased God and he sought the Lord until God began to reveal things to him. Even God told him about Christ. There was no Christ at the time, but he knew that Christ would be coming with 10,000 of his saints. He prophesied the book of Jude, recorded it. You know, and he said, my goodness. And he knew something was coming. And he pressed in and these were people that had faith. Faith to overcome death. faith for translation. This Enoch had it. Everybody else said we are going to die. This Enoch had tremendous faith. Until today, he's still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I can go on and on and on, you know. But even Jesus, he had to use his faith, you know, come out of that grave, you know, and he had to speak that faith. And that's how you do it, you know. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it. He had to speak it in order to experience it. He would was declaring it. He meant what he said. He expected that it would be so. And he doubted nothing in his heart. He knew it would happen. He said, oh, I'm coming out of that grave even in 3 days. They didn't understand what he was talking about. But he kept declaring it. Well, we tell the disciples, well, let us go, you know, to Jerusalem and so forth. The chief priests will do this and that. The Son of Man will be betrayed, blah, 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 blah. And he would keep telling them, well, he's coming out of there. He had to use his faith, you know. And one time even Elijah and Moses met with him on the mount. They were discussing their own death and the disease and the Jesus' resurrection because they were, you know, believing God through the resurrection of Jesus that they themselves would be resurrected. Later on, we see in Revelation 11, the two witnesses, you know, by the description of their ministries, we know who they are, smite the earth with all kinds of plagues, you know, call down fire from heaven and so on. That's Moses and Elijah for you. And they appeared with him on Mount Transfiguration, and, you know, and they also had to believe God. They knew they would be killed eventually, but they had to depend on the resurrection of Christ for them also to come out of that. They were left in the streets for days, but at the end of 3 days and so forth, the Spirit of God came upon them. And they arose, and tremendous fear fell upon everybody because they had satellite TV all across the world. Everybody could see it. And they believed God and come out of that, you know, situation anyway. So we've talked about multiple people that dare to believe God throughout the scriptures. We've talked about various kinds of faith. Yeah. But what level is your faith at? You know, there's also the weak and doubting faith. I don't even like that one. You know, when God said it would be, Sarah said, no, it cannot be. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that they were directly in line with God's eternal purpose, you know, God might have dealt with her harshly. And she laughed. And the Lord said, well, you laughed. So I didn't laugh, sir, but you did too. You know, and because she said, my goodness, what is she talking about? In my old age, I have pleasure and bear a child again. And she just despised the word of God in her heart. And she kept trying to engineer something against the word of God. You know, don't be like that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, let's be strong in faith, believing God. God promised something. Believe God. You know, believe against all odds. Even if it looks like it's not going to be, believe God anyway. Because it will be. Once the Lord speaks it, that's it. It's done. Settled. Holy watchers watching over it. By decree of the holy watchers, by the demand of the holy ones, it's done. So it is spoken, so it is written, and so it will be. It's done once God says it. And if we can believe God like that, well, as we look back, we look back the last 2 days in our faith lab and looked at all the promises of God. Some of them have not been fulfilled yet in our lives that God has given us on this platform, but you dare to believe God for it. That's what God is looking. The Lord said, I'm looking for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap of faith and to believe my word. That's right. Because, you know, most people would not believe God if it doesn't happen right away, you know, and the word must be tested. The word of the Lord must be tried. And when it is tested and tried, will you still be at the point of faith? That's what Jesus said. Luke chapter 18 and 8. So sometimes the Lord will be along with them, but when I show up finally, will they still be believing? Will you still be at the point of faith, or would you have run off? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us make up our minds to believe God. And if you can believe God, even in you know, unusual situations and for unusual things, well, you might just end up with uncommon results. And the people that dared to believe God, all these stories we told, they received tremendous blessings and they were still rejoicing in their testimonies till this day. And I pray that the Lord will encourage our hearts to believe the Lord. No matter what situation you are in, just believe God. Believe His word. You know, His word would never fail. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, believe the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Well, believe also His prophets. And so shall you prosper. So believe the word of God. Believe the word of prophecy also. He said we have a word of prophecy, you know. And this word is like a day star that rises in our hearts. The day dawn, day star, a more sure word of prophecy. A sure word, it's sure. Because the Lord spoke it. And it will stand fast. Daniel said, well, the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. You can't change it. It's going to be. But it may not profit you if you do not believe God. The word of God will come to pass anyway. But the person that doesn't believe is the one that's going to miss out. So let's make sure that we are believing God. In the story in 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha had given the prophecy. There was tremendous hardship in the land. And different things were going on. Their enemies cut off their supply and so forth. Barricaded the entrance to the city. No one was going in. No one was coming out. So that they there was no supplies that could come into the city. Cut off their water supply. Cut off everything. And say, well, we'll see how long they can hold up. Because otherwise they will surrender. So finally, they had the strong gates. They wouldn't let their enemies in. But the enemies say, well, okay, we're not going in. Yeah, you guys are not coming out either. Blew up all the wells and different things and supplied their water to them. So we'll see. And Elisha come out and say, okay, enough of this already. Thus saith the Lord. Ha, glory to God. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel? 2 measures of barley for a shekel? I mean, he just put out all this outlandish stuff. I mean, nobody, it was unbelievable the things he was saying. Because this is like giving things away, the prices that cost of things he was saying here. Just imagine it in your time. Something that is, being sold for $6 or $7 or $8, you say it's going to be sold tomorrow for a dime, or maybe something that's sold for $20 or $25 or $100 will be sold for a dime tomorrow. It'll be so cheap, buy two, get one free. he put it out there. Hallelujah. And one man said, well, come on now. Even if the Lord were to open the windows of heaven, can this thing be? How in the world would you say something like that? If the Lord opened the windows of heaven? Well, so Elisha said, really? So what? The word will come to pass, but you will not eat of it because you did not believe it. And that was exactly the case. As the story went, after the lepers came and told of the bounty they've found and everything. And everybody was rushing in a mad stampede to go get their own. This same chief of staff was appointed to keep the gate. And while he was there, people he was trotting down underfoot of all the people and he died in the stampede. And so it came to pass just like the word of the prophet. The thing was the abundance that the prophet said would come came. Everybody else saw it except the one that despised the word of the Lord. They didn't eat of it. And so, we are doing ourselves a disservice if we don't believe the word of God. Because the word of God will say, shall the unbelief of some make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. You can read that for yourself in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? God forbid it. Word of God is going to happen. The person that doesn't believe. Believing God. Bible say, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Well, we believe you, Lord, and therefore we speak also. We affirm your words. The words of promise that you've given us on this platform, we will affirm them daily. And even words of promise you've given us in the scriptures, we'll also affirm them. And when we affirm them, we will mean what we say. I'm going to say one thing and do a different thing. Believe the Lord, I mean it. We're also going to expect that as we say it, it will be and it will come to pass. Doubting nothing and nothing wavering. And so, Father, help us. The man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Any area in me where unbelief is still trying to gain grounds, I pray that you help me. Jesus said, well, I can help you with that too. So, Lord, help us, every one of us, to believe God. Praise the Lord. And what is it that you will believe in God for? Jesus said, if thou canst only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Let the word of God that's been released upon us on this platform, let it come to pass. Even as God said, let there be, and it was. So let everything that God has released for us on this platform begin to come to pass and begin to possess that which God has promised. Through our faith, we will receive it in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.